We are continuing in the book of Ezekiel, and we're in Ezekiel chapter 16, and we left off at verse 35 last week, but we need to get some context, and several of you haven't been here, but we've been going through the whole book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was written during the captivity that the second carrying away into Babylon. Daniel was taken with the first in 605, and then you have Jeconiah, the last king of Israel at that time, carried away. It's interesting how the Lord does not call Zedekiah, the man who was the uncle of the sitting king, who Nebuchadnezzar appointed. He doesn't call him the king, he calls him the prince of Israel. And the line does not go through, the kingly line does not go through Zedekiah, it goes through Jehoiachin. And Jehoiachin was carried away captive from Jerusalem, and so was Ezekiel and a lot of other people. And Ezekiel was there in Babylon by the river Kivar, and there he was prophesying. And the Lord set certain things he had to do. There were illustrations that he was to give, such as laying on his side for, 430 days total, and a certain diet, certain amount of water. At this point, he's not able to speak either. He's dumb unless the word of the Lord comes to him, and that's the only time he speaks. And we saw the different visions that took place, but most of this book here, at least the first portion, is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 586, which is coming, which is seven or so years away. And now we've gotten another year closer or so, so it's probably about five or six years, depending exactly when this was, that the destruction of Jerusalem is coming, and the Lord is telling them why it's going to happen. Jeremiah is alive at the same time. He's over in Jerusalem, though, and he's prophesying there as well. And we've gotten into a portion where there are different prophecies that are somewhat disconnected. Yet they are all, when you take them all together, they all fit together talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that's about to happen and why it's happening. And there's prophecies against different people or different things. There was, we looked at chapter 15, the talking about the vine branch. There was an illustration. Israel is like a vine branch that's not attached to the vine. What good is a vine branch? He says, can you cut it up? Can you make anything with it? So knotty, so twisted, you can't make boards out of it. You can't build a house with it. He says, the only thing it's good for is to be burned. And it's the same thing with Israel. They were no good. They were no good but to be burned. And we correlated that with John chapter 15 as well. But in chapter 16, this is an illustration of the condition of Israel. And he uses the picture of Israel like a baby girl that was left of her parents, left to die. They hated her. They didn't care about her. Left in a field to die. They didn't cut the umbilical cord. They didn't clean the baby at all. It just left there to stamp in its own blood and die. And the Lord came along and saw that baby and cleaned it. And he provided for it and made it healthy. And it grew up. And he gave it fine clothes, great things to eat, the fine clothes, the fine food, jewels. It was a beautiful state. And we saw this pictures Israel and what the Lord has done for Israel, taking it out of affliction. People didn't care about them. In fact, they were afraid of them. And so they put them in bondage in Egypt, 430 years. But the Lord saw them. He heard their affliction. He brought them to the land of Israel. And he beautified them. He caused to beautify them, especially we think of the time of Solomon. And you can see how it was true. Everybody in the world saw the beauty of the Lord in Israel. So that was great. But I think it's verse 15, where it changes. It says, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and playedest the harlot because of thy renown, because of her name that went abroad, and pouredest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. And we've been looking the past couple weeks at this section, talking about their wickedness. And it's not fun to read. You think, I don't want to read this. I don't want to think about this. Why are we spending so much time? We get the idea. Let's keep going. But remember what he said at the beginning. He said in verse 2, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. She needs to know. You know, you need to think. You need to look at this. You need to see what's going on. You need to see how wicked this is, because this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. You need to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And the judgment of God, you think, wow, it's so harsh. But what we should really say is, wow, how wicked that God would have to do this to these people. And it's not as if the Lord didn't give them space. Boy, he was so patient, wasn't he? You think of the wicked things that were going on, and it's illustrated here in these passages. It's illustrated like a woman who is a wife of a man, and she plays the harlot. And she does this with all sorts of people. She kills her children to offer to sacrifice. This is an illustration, but it's also reality, because it was happening in Jerusalem and in Israel. All the things that the Lord gave her, she used those things for her own design, her own purposes. In verse 19, my meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. So she took what God gave her and gave it to these idols, offered it to them. And we've been going through all of these things, and we come to the second part tonight. It expressed the iniquity, the condition of Israel, their iniquity in that first part. And when you get to verse 35 and following, you have the second part where he's speaking about the Lord's response. And we've seen this before, how the Lord will lay out his case. He'll say, this is what's going on, and this is what I say about what's going on. And in this part, he's going to give, as he has, a two-part answer. And you see it in verse 35, it says, wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them. And so it's as if we stop mid-sentence here. But really, this is the first part of the first answer. It's the content that he's going to address. He says, answering this, because of this, and he's going to say, to thus, here's all of this. And so let's think about this a little bit. He says, thus saith the Lord God. Literally, thus, or in this manner, said the Lord, and his name, Yahweh. I am existing, the existing one. And he says, answering, he's answering something. What is it? It's translated here, because they were being poured out of filthiness. And then your nakedness was uncovered. In your fornications upon your lovers, and upon the entirety of the idols of your abominations, and as bloods of your sons which you gave to them, gave to the idols, gave to the lovers that they worshipped. The nature of their fornication was indeed literal. The people were doing this. They were committing fornication all over the place. It's true. But it's not just speaking of that. Speaking of Israel nationally as a whole, the nature of what's going on here is also spiritual adultery against the Lord, their idolatry. It's not as though he's saying every single person there was committing fornication physically, necessarily, but that they turned in the rebellion to others and they gave to them that which was only for the Lord. Her filthiness, that word has the idea of like corrupted metal, like rusty metal. It was poured out, and her shame was revealed. How was it revealed? By means of her fornication, it was revealed. And this fornication was with her lovers, and it was with these idols, which we've read about in the past verses. But he also adds this, and as the blood she shed of her children to those idols. That was also one of the things of her shame. And the Lord will respond to this. Don't you think he should? Would it be okay to just say, it's not a big deal? We'll just let it go? He's a loving God, so we'll just let him keep going. He has to. It's a part of his nature to respond and to judge the matters of the world. He's the judge of the world. Didn't Abraham say, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And he will. He must. And so he has to decide this case. But how much more, not just the judge of the world, but of his own people? Of course, he has even perhaps a greater relationship with them. They have more responsibility. And of course, he was going to chasten his own. So the second part, so that was what he's answering. Answering their fornication. They're being poured out to filthiness, their fornication, and the results of all of that. He says literally to thus in verse 36, verse 37, "Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness." So, in the first part here, to thus, he says, literally, it's behold me. He's getting their attention, behold, and he's also directing it to himself. And he's, these verses 37 to the beginning of 39 is the preparation for judgment. There's this gathering, the entirety of her lovers, the lovers which she took pleasure upon. And he says, and all of which you loved, and upon all of which you hated. It's kind of interesting. And I believe this is saying those that she delighted in and those she didn't delight in, but still yet committed whoredom with them, they'll be gathered, all of them, against her. And again, who is the her? It's a picture of Israel and Jerusalem. And he says, then I will gather them. We talked about before, you remember, I talked about a wow consecutive. A wow consecutive is a type of conjunction that's placed on the beginning of a word. And a lot of times, you see it a lot, especially in the prophets. And a wow consecutive, it gives you... it says something happened, then something else happened. It could be chronologically, first this happened, then that happened, or it could be logically, we go one way and then we go another way. And so, but it gives you, it shows you sequence is what it shows you. And so I'll use the word, when the wow consecutive is there, I'll use the word then, because this is showing sequence, and you'll see it as we go. And he uses here, then I will gather them. Talking about the lovers from upon you from round about. So he's going to gather all these lovers. And then he says, then I will uncover your nakedness unto them. That's a shameful thing. And the sentencing, he's going to, what is the sentence that God as a judge makes upon Israel addressing this particular aspect? He says in verse 38, and I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. So what's the judgment that he has decided they're worthy of? The judgment of one committing adultery. That's one. And pouring out of blood. The idea of shedding blood. And you go back to the law, Leviticus 20:10. Says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. How are they to be put to death? It doesn't explicitly say there in Leviticus, but it's understood that it would be stoning. John chapter 8, verses 4 through 5 says, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such an one be stoned. But what sayest thou? And so the law would say they're guilty of death by stoning. But also the second part is pouring out of blood. And I think this speaks of their murder, especially of the children here. And Genesis 9:6 says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, For in the image of God made he man. And so they're going to be put to death. And you think of the intensity of their judgment. That was the sentence, the judgment of one committing adultery and of pouring out of blood. And the intensity of their judgment, as we read, is he uses that while consecutive. Then I will give you blood, literally, I will give you blood of rage, and I will give you, understood, blood of zeal. So it's the blood. It's to receive blood. He's going to give you blood in a cup. What are you talking about? I think this seems to reference that her own blood being shed. And he's going to do it in rage and in zeal. This wrath, the heat. And what's going to be the agent of their judgment? This is all just the preparation, the preparation for judgment. The agent of their judgment, he says in verse 39, and I will also give thee into their hand. Who's their hand? It's the lovers, the ones that she committed fornication with. So they're going to be the ones who execute the judgment of the Lord. And we know, we know that specifically it's going to be Babylon. Babylon's going to come up against them. So in verses 39 to 41, you have the execution of the judgment. You see in verse 39, and they shall throw down their thine eminent place and shall break down thine high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes and shall take thy fair jewels and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. So there's the execution of the judgment. By the way, every area of offense, every area that the Lord says, this is what they're doing, this is what they're doing. As he's mentioned before, he addresses those. He's going to deal with every area where they offended. And you see here where he talks about their eminent places, their prominent places, the places where they set up for worship. He says, then they will throw down your prominent places. Then they will, the idea is to pull down, and it's for themselves. They're going to do it themselves. Pull down your high places. They will cause to strip you of in your clothes. There's that shame. And also the removing of those goodly things. You remember that the Lord had given to her. And then they will take, as it says here, these jewels. And the idea there is articles of beauty, literally. And perhaps as you think about these things, you try and take it and you compare it to what happened to Israel. And I think of, you know, what was if you had a jewel and you were going to compare it to Israel, what was the jewel of Israel? I would think it would be the temple, Solomon's temple, the beauty of the temple. And he continues on. He says, then they will cause to leave you bare and naked. So she's going to be desolate. Jerusalem's going to be desolate. And perhaps this is referencing the physical destruction of the city. If you see in verse 40, it says, they shall also bring up a company against thee. They'll bring up, or they will cause to ascend upon you an assembly. And notice what will happen. Then they will stone you with stones. I think this is kind of speaking to that judgment of an adulterer, stoner with stones. And then they will cut you down with their swords. Then they will burn your houses in the fire. Then they will make you in judgments. Literally, they will make you in judgments to the eyes of many women. And I'll read some verses that go along with that. But this seems emblematic of the other nations that were around that would see Israel, because this is referencing Israel as a lady, and the others nations as well would be emblematic of women, and they would see what's going on there, to see the judgment. So all of this is to happen. And it's not for any, there's a reason why it's happening. There's a reason. And as we've read before, the Lord doesn't add anything. He just gives them after their way. He doesn't add an extra kick just because he wants to. He just gives them after their way. They're receiving their reward. But so if you saw that in verse 41, they shall burn the houses with fire. He says, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I think of 2 Kings 21, verse 12 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. And so in that passage, speaking of the same thing here, how anyone who hears this, both their ears will tingle. They're going to take note. Jeremiah, who's alive at the same time, he wrote in chapter 19, verse 8, and I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. So they're going to see it. They're going to take note of what the Lord did. I like this next part because the Lord doesn't, he's not angry forever, is he? He doesn't just keep going on forever and ever and ever. And no, there's a completion of judgment. As you see in the Old Testament, I just was thinking of it, you know, you've heard an eye for an eye. And that just means you don't do more. If somebody took out an eye, then you just take out an eye. It doesn't mean you take off a hand and an eye and a foot. The idea there is to keep judgment equal to the offense. And the Lord does the same thing. He doesn't add anything to it. There will be a completion of judgment. And in verse 41, it says, and they shall burn thine house with fire and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou also shall give no hire any more. So there's another wow. He says, then I will cause you to cease from fornication. That playing the harlot. It's the idea of fornication. It's the same idea, translated different ways. But so from that, and he says, and also he uses the word here, from playing the harlot, thou shalt give no hire any more. Hire, and that's the idea of to pay for that fornication as a prostitute. And we already saw that Israel was strange in this, and that people did not pay her, but she paid others. And he says, you won't do it anymore. And I do like the way the Hebrew does this is interesting. It says literally here, and also hire you will not give until. You say, until when? Right. Until. There's no specified end to that. And so that's where they translate it anymore. But literally, it's just until, and they just leave it open where there's nothing, there's no definite where it ends. It just goes on forever. So he's going to use that same term in just a second. But the Lord will accomplish his purpose. They will stop their fornication. It has to come to an end. It must keep, it can't keep going on. The Lord would not have finished what he had done if it kept going on. You think of, like we've been studying in 1 Samuel, you think Eli and how he said, oh, don't, you guys need to stop doing this, stop doing this. And he just kind of slapped him on the wrist, his sons, who were very wicked. But he didn't put an end to it as he should have. That's what the Lord would have done. He would have put an end to it. So this is the completion of the judgment. They're going to stop their ways. And then he says, then I will cause to rest my fury in you. It's going to rest. It's going to stop. I'm done. And so there's that word, the fury that he used before, and then the word zeal here, then my zeal will turn aside from you, literally. So it's going to turn aside. It's going to be done. There will be an end. He says in verse 42, so I'll make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy or that zeal, that ardor, shall depart from thee. And he says, and I will be quiet, and I will be no more angry. So I'll be quiet. I will rest. And I will not be angry. And then he says, until. So it just keeps going on. And, you know, I think of Psalm 77, verse 7 through 9, where he says, will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And so you think about it. You know, he was meditating about these things in his trial. And the rhetorical questions, no, he hasn't. And every sin must be judged. We're getting really close. Chapter 18. Where he's going to talk about everyone will be judged for their own sin. You say somebody is doing wrong, they're walking in their wicked ways. If they'll repent, turn to the Lord, Lord will have mercy on him. But if somebody's walking in righteousness and they decide they're not going to do that anymore and they're going to do wickedness, they're going to be judged. God's going to give everyone after their ways. He says that. He makes it clear. Israel had a chance so many times. You think Isaiah, when was that written? That was written 150, 200 years before Ezekiel was written. And then you think about Ahaz's day, and we read about that last week, how it was wicked. You have so many prophets, and the Lord says, I send you the prophets, rising early and sending them and speaking. But you know, they rebelled and said, no, 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 no. And we've been looking at things like that even in 1 John. How they reject it. They reject the Lord. They reject knowledge. Hosea chapter 6, he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's like, well, they just didn't have knowledge. They didn't know. They were ignorant. No, it wasn't that they were ignorant. They rejected the knowledge. They had knowledge, but they rejected it. And so the Lord has been long suffering. And even in Jeremiah chapter 18, he takes Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And he shows him how the potter was working on the pottery, but it was marred in his hand, and so he wanted to make something new, and he did. And he says, Israel, can't I do that with you? Can't I make something new? But Israel said, no, no, it's too late. We can't change. We're stuck in our ways. We're just going to do what we're going to do. And the Lord says, has anyone heard such a thing? Have the heathen heard such a thing that somebody would do that? And yet they did. They would not turn out of their wicked way. So that's the answer. That's the first part. And then you have the second part. We won't go through all of the second part tonight, but that's through verses 43 to 59, part two. And we'll just read it a little bit of this. In verse 43, he gives the content that he's addressing. He uses that same, it's translated here, because, but it's answering. Thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth. Now he's going to address that. Because you have not remembered the goodness of the Lord to you, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. And then he's going to get into a proverb. They're going to start using this proverb. As the mother, so the daughter. And he's going to go into that. Just like he's going to go and reference back how he began saying, You're from the Hittite and the Amorite. Those are your progenitors. And here he's going to say your mother. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. He's saying your sister was Samaria. And Sodom made her, you made a sister of her. He's going to get into all of that, and we'll look at that next week. And it's going to be most of the rest of the chapter. But let's just look ahead. In verse 60, you have the promise of the Lord. He comes back to this, and he says, Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed, when thou shalt receive thy sisters and thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Has God cast off his people, as Paul said? He says, no, God hasn't. And though he had to judge them, he promised to Daniel, to Jeremiah, and Daniel understood it, there would be 70 years, and they would come back. And yet, there's going to be a gap. And I've been studying in Hosea. Maybe we'll bring that out. Where there's going to be a period of time where the Lord is not going to really deal with Israel. But he will. They will. They will be restored. And that's coming. And we can read about it in Revelation. Any thoughts or questions about any of the content we're looking at here in Ezekiel or anywhere? It's okay. There's a lot here. And hopefully you keep the continuity. Judgment's coming. Jerusalem's still existing. They're wicked. And they have about 4.5 to 5 years, I think, left before they're going to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And so they're not going to turn. And God's judgment is determined. It's going to happen. Lord, I thank you for these things that you've shown. They're not unlike our day, are they? I believe, Lord, that you've given us these things because there's judgment coming here as well, you know. And Lord, we ask you to open up hearts that maybe they could see some of these things. They might turn to you. And that people would see that you're not a mean God or a hard God. You're a righteous God, and man is very wicked. And I pray, Lord, that each one tonight would see that. And that we'd be able to share that with others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.